And now I would like to introduce Andrea Ceraso and Andrea Fantino. Please come here for the next talk. That is about a block in our city, an area that has problems, we can say that, of petty crime, of people addicted, drug, alcohol, and so the situation is also interesting from the sonic point of view. But they are an anthropologist, Andrea Fantino, and a social worker and teacher, Andrea Ceraso. But they are also both filmmakers, and they are realizing since 1 year and a half, something like that, a documentary about the area. So they will introduce it with a teaser, yeah? And then they will just explain their research on the area. And the link between them and us as a conservatory has been a sonic exploration of the area that we did some months ago. Because the sound is really an important element, because the different people, resident people with this kind of matter, drug addicts and so on, uses sound from different perspectives. I mean, a resident can be disturbed by noise of people fighting or people crying during the night, and also by the police sirens and noise. And while for other kind of people, like immigrants, noise is a noise of aggregation, of doing, of celebrating, meeting other people from the same country. So it's a completely different perception of the same kind of soundscape. So thanks, guys, and.
I don't know, shall we watch the teaser maybe first and then talk about it? For us, it's the same as you like. Okay, so thank you very much for watching. That was the teaser. Maybe we can tell a little bit about the project and then we can answer questions and whatever it's needed. So basically, I grew up in this neighborhood. I'm from Cuneo, I'm from here. And I remember when I was young, that area was a residential area, very normal in the sense that nothing really dangerous or at least perceived like that was going on. It was a very common area. Then I moved to Turin for a work reason. And I kept coming back for my parents, of course, and I've noticed in the course of the years a radical change of the area until a point that this change was really evident to also the people consistently living there. There was the arrival of people looking for jobs in the fruit picking fields. Lots of shops opened and lots of old shops closed. The residence panorama changed, the soundscapes changed. And so, as a social worker and filmmaker, I started having a different interest for the area. And I met the anthropologist Andrea, and we talked about it, and we decided to shoot this documentary. I don't know.
Sì, io dico due cose, le dico in italiano, Andrea, mi traduci?
Yes.
Rapidamente, visto che è molto più bravo di me con l'inglese. E, quando Andrea non lo conoscevo, ci siamo conosciuti e gli ho detto che lavoravo come documentarista, lui mi ha detto dobbiamo assolutamente fare un film.
Yeah, so basically I told him to we need to do a film about the area when I discovered that he was an actual filmmaker.
E quando mi ha raccontato insomma il quartiere come stava cambiando, Ho trovato in realtà, insomma, io abito a Roccavione, quindi a 2 passi da Cuneo. Leggevo di questo quartiere sulle pagine dei giornali e la cosa aveva iniziato a interessarmi, ma a partire dalle sue parole, dai suoi racconti, ho subito capito che poteva essere interessante non solo raccontare questa realtà per Cuneo, ma anche perché questa realtà forse rappresenta un po' come abbiamo scritto nei titoli di coda, insomma, nei cartelli alla fine, rappresenta un po' un'Italia che sta cambiando, no? Cioè, è vero che il fenomeno della migrazione è molto forte nelle grandi città, ma anche nelle piccole città come Cuneo, inizia in qualche modo a modificare degli equilibri, in particolare gli equilibri che riguardano poi la frequentazione degli spazi pubblici e quindi anche la frequentazione di quelli che sono, se adesso te lo faccio, e quindi anche la frequentazione, insomma, di quelli che sono anche i paesaggi sonori cambiano.
He lives outside Cuneo, but he was aware of the change of the area through newspapers and news. And so when we talked, he was interested in this project, also because he saw a potential universality, I don't know if that's a word, of the themes of the documentary. He thought, okay, this is useful for Cuneo, definitely, but maybe can also be interesting and representative of the rest of the country. It's a situation that we can find in different areas of our country at the moment. And maybe... Yes. Okay. So he saw a clear relationship between the migration and the change of public spaces and how we leave those spaces. And the block, as you've seen in the teaser, is definitely an example of that. When they discuss the benches or the noises, and that's the link that we have with the conservatory, and that's why we're here. I'd like to tell you why we met the guys from the conservatory, specifically Gianluca and Giuseppe. Thank you very much for having us here. Well, basically, Gianluca is also, I don't know, Gianluca, if I can say it, but you are a resident too. So he lives in this block, and that's how we met Gianluca Verlingeri. Then, through Gianluca, we discovered that the conservatory was coming to the block for a field recording. Yes, an amazing coincidence, I mean, an amazing chance. So we discovered that they were coming for this field recording, and of course, trying to be creative filmmakers, we thought, okay, this is an amazing opportunity to look at l'isolato in a different way, actually to hear, to listen to the block in a different way. So we're sorry we didn't edit the sequence yet, but we have three pictures. So we followed the activity of the was it a laboratory, I think, a workshop. So we followed the workshop, the students and the participants of this workshop recording with different kind of microphones that maybe Giuseppe can tell you more about, because we're not specifically into the we're not into the audio field, but we follow them, and then we asked for the recordings. We're trying to sync them, not easy, but it was super cool to listen to these recordings and to listen to what they, the participants, learned about the area through the sounds. So not only us hearing the sounds, but them not having the experience of the area, getting info and giving us info of the area through the sounds. That was super interesting because, dimmi Andre se vuoi intervenire, but for us, until now, sounds was more like a subjective point of view. For example, this summer we recorded the noise from the street, from the balconies of the residents. Yeah, like the loud noises for the movida, for the clubbing, not clubbing, but like, yeah, shouldn't be clubbing, but sometimes it's a bit of a clubbing scene on the streets. So we were doing like a traditional work with audio. But through this workshop, we had the feeling that a new door opened and a new perspective on sounds in this documentary could be used. In fact, this is just an hypothesis, but we were even thinking of starting the movie with this sequence. So we were, yes, I just finished saying, we were thinking of opening, we were thinking to help people entering the block in the movie through the sounds.
Sì, l'idea adesso è questa, magari poi cambieremo, insomma, ci stiamo lavorando, però quello che volevo dire, non parlo troppo, sennò poi la tua traduzione diventa difficile, però quello che volevo dire è che è molto interessante entrare, riuscire magari a immergere lo spettatore col suono fin dall'inizio, quindi entrare nell'isolato col suono, però devo dire che dal punto di vista visivo è stato molto interessante seguire questo gruppo, perché è un gruppo, per certi versi, è surreale la situazione che si è creata, perché è un gruppo di persone silenziose con degli aggeggi molto strani che attraversano gli spazi della città e molto concentrati, c'è qualcosa di rituale in tutto questo, quindi anche dal punto di vista visivo è molto interessante.
Sì, Andrea was also pointing the fact that not only was interesting from an audio point of view, but also visually, because we saw this situation in which those people were going around the city, around the block with these strange machines, microphones and headphones, and we couldn't hear a sound from outside because, of course, they were wearing headphones. And so also visually, this was super cool for us, a situation. He used the word ritual, something like ritual. It was interesting. So if you have any questions, I think it's the best way to go, just because, again, we're not in your field or in the audio field, but we're here to learn more than say. So if you have any question, maybe we can discuss.
I just want to add two things. The first is that there was a psychological aspect in doing these recordings. Of course, people there, immigrants, are not so easy to accept that you are there and you are filming them, you are maybe recording, so there is a very important aspect, and this is also true and maybe more effective for the video point of view. So what is your experience in entering in life of people and the risks that is that there is?
Yes, well, for us it's really important, the relationship. So what we are trying to do is to spend time without cameras in the area. We really invested time in going places, drinking coffees, lots of coffees, like spending time with the people, and again, like improving our relationship with them. Of course, especially something that maybe is not clear from the teaser, because we didn't shoot back then this situation, but there are certain people like living near behind the train station, in a bus station that in Cuneo is known as Movicentro. And for example, there was very hard to access the area with a camera, because of course people living in the street are very bad condition. So what we did in that case, we started volunteering with a local association that goes on the streets, giving food, providing items that they need. And we went there like 9, 10, 11, 20 times without the camera. And that was one of the highest moments, I think, so far, because at of course, the immigrants living there, they stay most of their time in the block, drinking, doing their things. And of course, they identified us as the camera guys. So they knew right from the beginning that we were shooting things in the area. We didn't say anything. We went there without the cameras. They didn't say anything. Then after 10, 11 times, one guy told me, okay, man, come on, now you can take your camera. So he knew that I was there for that reason too. And it was very emotional, because they asked us to film them in that situation. And I think that that meant that they trusted us in trying to portray the situation in a very fair way. Relationships are not easy. Sometimes we fight with residents, sometimes we fight. Conflict is part of the documentary too, fight, like verbal fight, of course. Accepting the camera is not always easy, but I think that through the relationship and through the time we're spending there, we're obtaining, getting amazing results, honestly. I don't know, Andrea, if you want to add anything.
Sì, ma hai detto tutto quello che c'era da dire. Quello che volevo aggiungere, solo che per noi è un po' più difficile riuscire a seguire diciamo il gruppo, non so come chiamarlo, insomma comunque l'insieme dei migranti, degli stranieri che bazzicano attorno al quartiere, rispetto invece all'insieme dei residenti italiani che vivono lì. Perché? Perché con l'insieme dei residenti italiani, insomma, la relazione anche fin dall'inizio è stata più facile, ma anche perché Andrea è cresciuto lì. Però diciamo che i residenti più o meno sono sempre gli stessi. E invece i migranti cambiano tanto, cioè tu parlavi dei migranti, dei senza tetto che abitavano la stazione Movicentro, adesso non abitano più lì e soprattutto c'è un forte movimento, quindi da quel punto di vista è anche un po' frustrante per noi perché le relazioni che poi sono, segui soprattutto te, le relazioni che magari iniziamo ad avere con alcune persone che frequentano l'isolato, che magari non hanno la casa o comunque sono anche dei personaggi che, insomma, che sono un po' nella marginalità, diciamo, no? La marginalità sociale di Cuneo, e quei personaggi magari li segui pop e scompaiono, e quindi è un po' più difficile, insomma, non solo raccontare questo.
Well, yes, Andrea, underlined the fact that, of course, there is a difference, and maybe that was your question too, Gianluca, so sorry if I didn't reply. There is like a difference between residents and immigrants in terms of access. I grew up in the area. I knew some residents before. It was easy for language reason, for whatever reason, to meet new ones. While the immigrant situation is very different. Of course, they don't properly live here. Of course, so the situation is temporary, they live there for a bit, they move, they change. So of course, we might admit, even if we don't like it too much, it's a bit harder to stay in touch with them and to, in the end, trying to represent them, of course. Yes, one classic frustrating situation, Andrea is exampling. You follow a guy, you start a relationship with him, and then this man or this woman has to go away, and of course your job. Yes, and your character goes away. Maybe your work is there, but yeah.
Just a quick note. One element very important from the Sonic point of view was COVID. Because the lockdowns didn't affect those kind of people, because if you don't have a house, you cannot be locked down. So some kind of sounds became what Murray Schafer called hi-fi sounds, so you can perceive much better from your house rather than with the noise floor of traffic and other things that during the lockdown was cut off. So this was a very interesting aspect, and I liked very much their work of recording from the houses of residents. So you can have a psychological perspective of sound, because usually we don't see like people fighting, but we can hear the sound. And so this is scaring for some residents, even because there is not the visual aspect. So sounds in the only source for their worries. Thank you.
You made a great point, and we experienced that this summer while shooting from the residents' balconies and spaces. We could experience that. They were hearing sounds often without having the opportunity to see. Yeah. And one more thing, Gianluca, if I because you gave me the link. So a crazy thing is that my uncle had a camera back then. So we have also some archive materials. And of course, the recording device is different, but still you can clearly hear the difference between the soundscape back then in the area and nowadays, like the volume or the languages you can hear. That's also interesting too.
Okay, there is a question.
Well, this is a great work. Congratulations and thank you for the presentation. I'm interested in the second or maybe third, but I would say second generation, the children, because you're also a teacher. And how is now the situation with the kids versus their integration, not versus, but regarding their integration, mm-hmm. and also regarding their bilinguality?
Yes, it's a super interesting question. Honestly speaking, the migrants that we're following and seeing the most are just arrived. And most of them have kids, but not here. So they're the first ones coming, trying to get a job, trying to improve their situation, and maybe later calling for their families. There are other immigrants that open most of the shops in the current areas, and they have kids, second generation kid, of course. Some of them goes to the asilo, kindergarten in the area, and of course it's a new element and it's super interesting. About the bilingual aspect of it, I think, personally, I teach adults, so I don't have too much contact with that situation. But I think nowadays, of course, we have much more bilingual kids than before. And there's also a tendency in Italian parents to value more the bilingual aspect and opportunity when the marriage or the relationship is mixed. But it's what I know from reading, not through my direct experience. You're welcome. Thank you very much for your attention. And thank you for having us here. Bye-bye.
Okay.